Well, good morning, Freedom Fellowship. It's a joy to be with you today. If I'd known we were going to have these bright lights, I would have powdered my forehead before I got here. So I hope the glare coming off forehead doesn't bother you this morning. It's a delight for me to be with you, but I hate that I have to be with you under the circumstances of your pastor not feeling well. And I told him he might ought to give second thought to going out on the golf course this morning since he wasn't feeling well. No, he's feeling, as we say in Anderson, he's feeling puny. And so pray for him. And he is a good friend of mine, and I think the world of him, and I know you love him. And this I know before I met you today, I heard from him on many occasions of his love for Freedom Fellowship. There's no doubt about that. It's good to meet Brother Cliff and his wife and family and meet so many other new faces for us today. Well, that's one of the things we enjoy now about preaching in retirement. We do a lot of travel. And my wife Kim is with me. She's a retired school teacher from District 1, and she's Mamu and Mimo to the grandkids. I'm just a Bapa, but she's Mamu and Mimo. And I don't know why they came up with those, but they did. But anyway, for our soon-to-be 6 grandchildren, and we got one on the way in September. But thank you for this opportunity. In just a minute, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, okay? I know you've been in the book of John. You spent a couple of weeks in Romans, didn't you, as I remember? Joseph told me about Romans, and I said, man, y'all been roaming in Romans a long time. But I know you enjoy his preaching and teaching. He's a man of God. Well, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, and I want to talk with you this morning about improving your serve. Now, I have a number of books in my library, and one of them is by Chuck Swindoll, and I've never read it. I understand it's a great book, but I love the title, Improving Your Serve. Now, it has nothing to do with tennis, okay? So all you tennis buffs, I can't help you there. But we're going to talk about how to make sure our service for the Lord is really what it ought to be. Now, do you all normally stand when you read the scripture? Do y'all do that? Okay, that's fine. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. Verse 10 and verse 11. Peter writes, and I'm reading from the New King James this morning, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace, the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as of the oracles of God. That means the message of God. If anyone serves or ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. That's how it concludes here. So be it. Let it be. Well, I don't know about this church, but I have pastored in some churches and heard about some churches that maybe occasionally struggled to get folks to serve the Lord in the various ministries of the church. But I've never heard one like the one I'm about to tell you about. It only had 4 members, and they had the same last name. The last name was Body. And one Sunday, everything came to a head. I mean, you're talking about trouble. It came to a head one Sunday. Let me tell you about it. There were these 4 members. Here are their names. Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. Now, I certainly hope we don't have any families here with the last name of Body. If we do, forgive me ahead of time, okay? Well, there was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about this because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. And it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Have you heard about that church? Maybe you've known some church members like that down through the years. Well, I hope this is not true of Freedom Fellowship, and I don't think so. But I think we all, from time to time, need a little fine-tuning in our service. So we're going to look at just a couple of verses that teach us about improving our serve. Now, Peter was writing to a group of people who were really struggling. They were going through times of testing and tribulation and persecution. And Peter was writing to encourage them to stay at it, to stay with it, to keep going. And he gives them the supreme example for them to look to in the, at the end, toward the end of chapter 3. He says, look to the cross where Jesus died for us. He's telling them to let the Lord Jesus be their supreme example. But then as he gets into chapter 4, he begins to talk about how that service, that ministry, manifests itself within the congregation. And he talks about hospitality and serving one another. So here we have in these two verses, verses 10 and 11, what I think are the, maybe we should call it service 101, the basics, the things that we ought to know from a foundational point. So this morning, what we're going to do, I've made the outline really simple. We're going to complete a sentence. Now, it's a compound sentence, okay? We're going to complete it, three parts. We serve. That's how the sentence begins. We serve. You ready? You got it. You got your outline there. We serve because of grace. Because of grace. Did you notice what Peter said there at the end of verse number 10? Because of the manifold, multivaried grace of God. Grace. What is grace? You say, well, that's a blue-eyed blonde. No. Grace is God's unmerited favor. God's giving to us what we don't deserve, our unmerited favor. Now, mercy is God holding back what we do deserve, which is judgment. But grace is just bestowing on us God's goodness, just out of the greatness and goodness of His heart. I'm sure you've heard this before. Maybe Pastor Joseph has used this. By the way, I call him Joe. I think he's Joseph around here. So if I slip up and call him Joe, don't tell him that I've messed up his name, okay? But I've used this acrostic for years, utilizing the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good way to remember grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's what really gets us going in this thing called service. It's because of grace. Now, grace is what gets us into the Christian life. Amen? I mean, that's how we get started. Not by signing a card, not even by baptism, as important as baptism is, but by saying yes to the one who said yes to the cross and receiving His grace, His forgiveness, His mercy into our hearts. Titus 3:7 says we are justified by grace. We're made just by grace. So grace gets us into this thing we call the Christian life. But let me also tell you this morning that grace is the basis of our service. Okay? The reason we do ministry is because of grace. In fact, that's why Peter said this, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, you ever thought about this? Why is it that when God saved me, He didn't just take me on to heaven? You ever thought about that? I mean, just to get me out of here. There are times when I think, Lord, I'm ready to go now. If you're ready to take me on up, just come on now. Come on for the church. But you know, God left us here for a reason. There are other folks who need to know about the grace of God. Isn't that right? And how are they going to find out? They're going to find out from the Mormons? Are they going to find out from the Muslims? Are they going to find out from Jehovah's false witnesses? No, only through people who know God's grace will they discover grace. Now, I want to show you something. If you want to hold your place there, I'm going to get you to turn to Ephesians 2. Now, you know these scriptures. I bet most of you have them memorized. Ephesians 2, verse 8. You know it. Say it with me if you know it. For by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. By the way, the word gift and the word grace come from the same root word in the Greek, charis. We get our word charismatic from that. Charis, gift and grace. And then he says, not of works, lest anyone should what? Boast or brag. Now, how many of you heard those verses before? Have you? Now, just nod at me on this one. Do you have them memorized? Oh, boy, some of us just spit that out just like that, just like that. How many of us know the next verse? Test, okay? Look at verse 10. For we are His handiwork, says the NIV, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Grace is the basis for these good works. By the way, I like that word in the New King James, it's workmanship. I think the NIV has handiwork. The word in the original language is poiema, poiema. It means something that has been crafted, something that's been built. We get our English word poem from poiema. Poem is a literary piece that someone has taken words and crafted together into a beautiful literary piece. You know what Paul was saying? God saved us to take us and use us as His poem to the world about grace. That's what we're about. It's all about grace, His workmanship. And then I want to share this with you about this grace. And somebody get their hallelujah ready. Get your amen ready, okay? Get your yeah ready, if that's what you do here. Grace is the supply that we need to serve God. God's supply that we need to serve Him. Now, I'm going to give you a verse to go along with this, okay? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. I love this. Now, listen to it. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. All grace. That you always, there it is again, all, always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, if you don't get anything else out of the message, you take that home today, it'll carry you all week. God's grace will abound for every work, in every situation, for whatever God calls you to do. He's going to supply. Aren't you thankful for that? Boy, I am. But you know what we hear sometimes as pastors, and by the way, sometimes we pastors are guilty of this. We say, but watch it when you put a butt in there. I don't know about this church, but this is normally the time of the year when a lot of Baptist churches are filling the ministry list, you know, with people. We called it the nominating committee for years. And you know, people pray more during that time than any other time. Because you go to them and say, would you serve in the nursery? Let me pray about it. And often that means, yeah, I'm going to pray, but Lord, give me a reason why I can't, you know. People come up with all kind of reasons why they can't serve. I got to thinking about people in the Bible who had could have reasons, maybe excuses for not serving. Listen to this crowd. Abraham and Sarah, they had an age problem. God says, you're going to have children. He said, it can't happen. Nuh-uh. Joseph was abused by his brothers, rejected by his brothers. Gideon was poor. You remember when God called Gideon? He said, you, me? I'm from the weakest tribe, from the smallest family. I'm the run of the litter. That's basically what he was saying. Moses, speech impediment. I can't talk. Rahab was immoral. David had been a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Do you know he is referenced more than any prophet from the Old Testament in the New Testament that Elijah is? And the guy said, Lord, I'm ready to die. Take me out right now. I mean, it was repeated. I've had enough. Jeremiah had a depression problem. Jonah was a backslider. Naomi and Ruth were widows. John the Baptist was eccentric, to say the least. I mean, walking around with a camel hair jacket, crunching on locusts, you know. Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. Mark was a quitter. Martha had an anxiety problem. She was obsessive-compulsive. The Samaritan woman had failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular, to say the least. Thomas had doubts. Paul had health problems. Timothy was fearful, timid Timothy. And John ended up on the Isle of Patmos suffering out there probably maybe with no other believers around him, alone, until Jesus came and met him. Now, those folks still served God. God sent me to tell somebody this morning, He has a place of service for you, or He wants you to stay in that place of service, and He's going to supply. He will. When I was pastoring Holly Springs all those years, I used to love to go. We had Sunday school, and I used to love to go to the children's department, pat them on the head and tell them how pretty their dress was and all of this kind of stuff, you know, to encourage them. And oftentimes, I would just hang out in the hallway because that's where the Sunday school office was. Well, Sunday school had begun that morning. I was down there in the children's area, and a little fella came out of the room, just a little guy, and we had one of those tall water fountains with the steps that lead up to it, the wooden steps somebody made to go up to the water fountain. He got up there and still couldn't reach the top. And I looked over at him and I said, "Son, do you need some help?" He said, "Yes, sir." Well, I went over there and got under his arms with my hands, and I just kicked the little steps out of the way, and I was starting to lift him up when another little fellow came out of the classroom. He said, "Preacher Clark, you want me to help you?" I said, "Come on and help me." Here he comes running. He grabs hold of my leg. See, I had my knee up under that little fellow's rear end, pushing him up. He grabbed hold of my leg, and he goes, "Oh!" And together we got that little fellow up there to get a drink of water. Well, when I put that boy down, both of them were grinning from ear to ear. And that little fellow who helped me, boy, he felt like he had done something wonderful. And I thought about that after that happened. I said, you know, that's just me right there. I'm just hanging on to the one who's got all the strength, who's got all the power, all the help that I need. And if I just hang on to Him, He's going to supply what I need to do what He's called me to do. That's all because of grace. Amen? All because of grace. Let's complete our sentence, or let's move on in a sentence. We serve because of grace, but listen to this. We serve with our gifts, the gifts that God has given us. Now look at our text once again in verse 10. The New King James says, "As each one has received a gift." And then in verse 11, "If anyone ministers, let him do so with the ability, the strength with which God supplies." God has given His church gifts in order to serve. Now, if I were to poll this congregation, many of you would never answer this because you're a humble person and you're not going to speak about yourself. But if I were to say, what are the natural gifts that are in this room? There would be all kinds. Some of you have singing ability. Naturally, you're born with it. Some of you just know how to put things together. You're crafty. You know, you can put things together. And some of you know how to organize. Some of you are just natural teachers. And then add to that spiritual gifts. Now, these are gifts that we get when we get saved and the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. The Holy Spirit brings one or more gifts. I know you've talked about this down through the years to each and every one of us. Each one has at least one spiritual gift. Go read 1 Corinthians where it says the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ and gives us a gift. Sometimes He gives more than one gift. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Have you done some praying over that and thinking about that? Some of you say right now, you know what it is. Maybe you have two or more gifts. Some of you are still trying to discover what those gifts are. Listen, all of them are important in the body of Christ. Go 1 Corinthians 12, in fact, uses the body as an illustration. Paul says, just like the body has many parts, so the church, the body of Christ, has many gifts, many people, gifted. He goes on to say that the hand can't say to the foot, "I don't need you." And I forget the other things, I'm going to make one up, but the foot can't say to the ear, "I don't need you." Because every part is there for a reason. And then he goes on to say, and there's some parts of the body, I think the King James says comely parts. They're inside. They're inconspicuous. We're talking about these inner parts of our body, the bones, the organs, these things. He said, they're just as important. I was, it's been several years ago now, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was scanning the news late one Monday night, and the headline said, NFL player collapses. Do you remember DeMar Hamlin, Buffalo Bills? Well, I'm not an NFL person, but I thought, boy, this is interesting. I need to see what this is about. And he had just tackled someone on Monday Night Football in a game, and when he stood up, he collapsed. Anybody remember that? Just like that. Well, they rushed to him, and the doctors, and finally they got him on an EMS and got him to the hospital. DeMar Hamlin had suffered a cardiac issue and could have died if they had not responded so quickly. But then he recovered after treatment, and I believe he's back playing again. Some of you NFL people, is that right? He is playing. Listen, before that happened, after that play where he helped tackle a certain player from the other team, I'm sure people were thinking, boy, that DeMar, he has eyes. He can see those players shifting position. Those hands, they can grab hold of somebody to tackle them. Those feet can move. But after that incident, the only thing that was being said is, how's his heart? Something on the inside. Let me tell you something today, church. God needs every one of you and wants every one of you in His service. And you may think that your place, your part is not significant. Your place and your part and your gift is significant in the work of God. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. And then I think about the fact that our gifts are for ministry to others. Notice what Peter said in our text, that you may, verse 11, minister it to one another. Whether you're speaking or you're doing service, he says, with the ability that God gives you, minister it to one another, verse 10, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I heard about a lady that took a first aid course. She completed it at the local college and had her certificate, basic first aid. She was so proud of that. And one day she came home from work and they were having dinner, the family. And she said, let me tell you what happened today. I used my first aid course. And they said, Mama, tell us. Honey, tell us what happened. She said, I was on my way home from work. There was this terrible accident. Cars crashed. I was the first one on the scene. And there was bleeding and bones were bruised and people were just laid out there in their cars. And they said, well, what did you do, Mama? What did you do? She said, I went over to the side of the road and I sat down and put my head between my knees and I didn't pass out. I'm afraid that's how some Christians are with their spiritual gift. They're keeping it to themselves instead of using it for the purpose that God has for them. By the way, the word in the New King James says minister it. Maybe your translation says do service with it. You know what that word is in the original? Diakoneo. Diakoneo. Do y'all have deacons here? I know maybe elders. Most Baptist churches or many have deacons. And sometimes people say to me, I don't know why they don't ever elect me as deacon. And I tell them, God's already elected you as a deacon. Are you deaconing right now? Are you serving right now? That's what the word means, to be a servant and to serve one another. I got to looking on your website yesterday. I like to look on church websites. Boy, you have got one of the best, and I mean that. And it's so colorful, and the pictures are so wonderful. And I saw a little tab that I think read, get involved. And I clicked onto it. And I looked at all of those different ministries that you have. And then there's a form that you can fill out. And I clicked on that form. And here's this list of about maybe 40 or 50 different ministries this church has. You know that's on your website, don't you? Have you seen it? I think most folks at Holly Springs didn't look at our website, but it's on there. Go look at it today. Here's your assignment. Before you take your nap, go look at your website and study it today. But you can fill out there to see where your possible place of service is. And then you take that and you add all the other opportunities that God may open for us in the church, outside the walls of this church. I want to tell you something, folks. There is plenty to do. Plenty to do. And plenty of opportunities that God has for His church as we minister to one another. But now listen to this. God's gifts are as varied as God's grace. Did you notice that? He says in the end of verse 10 in New King James, the manifold. Now you NASCAR people, don't get too excited, okay? Doesn't mean car. Manifold grace of God. Multifaceted grace of God. That word means many colored, many faceted. God's grace in giving gifts and service are just like snowflakes. They tell us that no two snowflakes look alike if you look at them under a microscope. No two leaves on the tree. No two clouds in the sky. Thank the Lord, no two people look exactly alike. And I'm thinking about somebody else looking like me. That would be rough for you to endure. But even identical twins aren't exactly alike. Listen, God has given His church so many opportunities to share His grace with a lost world. Multifaceted. God is a God of variety. And He's shown that within His church. And why does He do it? Number one, because the needs are many. The needs are many. I buried three people this week, three funerals from Holly Springs. All of them 85 to 94 years old, somewhere in there. And all of those people, Cliff, I don't know about you, but I've done some funerals where I really had to scratch my head to come up with something to say about a person. Sometimes you have to do a lot of digging and maybe a little bit of exaggeration. But I didn't have to do it this week, because here was a lady just yesterday that I did a funeral for who served in the nursery and served in inconspicuous ways, giving people money and food and helping them with their needs, what many different needs. And then Wednesday, I did a funeral for a guy, 94, who had taught the middle school boys year after year after year after year after year he taught them. And they loved him and he loved them. And then last week, a gentleman who took care of the church grounds, never elected to an office, but he took care of the church grounds, he and his wife. I mean, keeping Holly Springs facility looking immaculate on the outside. And I was glad to celebrate that, because all of those people and so many more at Holly Springs, God uses to reach this lost world through the gospel inside and through the gospel on the outside being proclaimed. Oh, if we could just see that as God sees it. Anybody here like Charlie Brown? You ever read the Charlie Brown? Now, you young people, Charlie Brown used to come in a thing called a newspaper. Anybody remember that? I used to love to go straight to the comic strips and look at Charlie Brown. Now, I know you can see him on YouTube and all of that, but I just love the Charlie Brown comic strips. And in one of those, Linus is watching TV. And Lucy, you know, meek and mild Lucy, you remember her? She comes walking in and she says, "Turn the channel." And Linus looks up and says, "Who's going to make me?" In true Lucy fashion, she says, "These five guys." She said, "Separately, they're not much, but when they come together, they're an awesome force." Well, Linus gets up and turns the channel. Lucy walks on, and Linus looks at his hand and says, "When are you guys going to get together like that?" I wonder sometimes if God doesn't say, "When is my church going to get together and really get down to business and make the gospel serious, important, a priority, sharing it with a lost world?" Well, We do it with our gifts. We do it because of grace. But let's not leave this off. We do it for His glory, for God's glory. Look at the end of verse 11. This is more than just a benediction, okay? It has amen, so be it at the end. But listen to it. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Go back up to verse 10. The New King James says stewards. What does the NIV say? Does it say stewards? Stewards of the grace of God? What is a steward? We used to call the ladies and sometimes the guys on airline stewards. Now they're flight attendants, and that's okay. But a steward is somebody who is doing a work on behalf of someone else, right? Just like the flight attendant or the butler or the person that works at the hotel. They don't own it. They may have a share in it, but they don't own the business. They're working for someone else. And notice it says in verse 11 that as God's stewards, we do it with His supply, the ability, the strength that He supplies. And notice the purpose, that He may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You know Matthew 5:16, don't you? Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify the church where you go every Sunday. You know that verse? No, what does it say? And glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's the supreme purpose. I've said to my church over the years, thank you when you say, that was a great message, Pastor. Thank you for making that visit, Pastor. Thank you for that prayer this morning, Pastor. But what really thrills me is when somebody says, boy, I felt Jesus this morning. I just felt close to God this morning. That's what it's about. Inside this building and outside this building. Queen Mary served in England back in the 1800s. Queen Mary was a very lively person, a jovial Christian person. And she liked to get out in the public. This was before you needed security and bodyguards and all of this. And she had a habit when she went to the country and went to her residence in the country, she liked to get out and take a walk through the countryside. Well, one day she did that, put on her regular clothes and started out for a walk. And she walked and walked and walked. I mean, she was just enjoying God's creation. Well, storm clouds started to move in. She had gotten a long way from the royal residence, and before long, raindrops began to fall. So Queen Mary stopped at a little cottage and knocked on the door. A woman came to the door and said, yes. She said, my name is Mary. May I borrow a bumper chute, an umbrella? She said, well, hold on. She didn't recognize the queen. She went to the back of the cottage and she had two umbrellas. One was fairly new. One was very tattered. She said, I may not get this back. I'm going to take her the tattered one. And she took that tattered one that had a broken rib and some holes in it and the handle wasn't too tight. And she said, here, take this. And Mary said, thank you so much. She made it back to the royal residence safely. The next day, the same woman living in that cottage had another knock at the door. And there standing at the door was a man in a uniform with all the royal regalia. He was one of the palace guards. He had in his hands that tattered umbrella. And he says to her, with thanks and gratitude from the queen, here is your umbrella. He stood back, turned around, and walked away. But that guard overheard that woman say, if I had only known it was the queen, I would have given her my best. If I had only known it was the queen. And one of these days, all of us will finish up down here. Every single one of us. And we will stand before the Lord 2 Corinthians 5 says we will be rewarded based on whether our works were good or not good. Are we giving Jesus our best? Doesn't He deserve our best? Would you agree with me? Somebody say amen. I'm going to wrap up. Amen. Let's stand together for prayer. As we prepare to close up this morning, maybe someone here today just needs to say, Lord, I really hadn't been giving my best. But I want to, starting today. Forgive me and help me to be the best servant for You I can be. Maybe today someone needs to say, Lord, I still haven't found my place. I don't know my gifts. I don't understand where I'm supposed to be, but I want to find out. Help me to find out. There are leaders in this church who will be happy to help you make that discovery. But until you are born again, you will never be able to serve God as He would have you serve and give you what you need to serve. So if there's anyone here today who hasn't made that all-important commitment and surrender of your life to experience grace, I will be here. Pastor Cliff is here. Pastor Chris is here. Others are here. We'll be happy to talk with you about that after this service. And now, Father, thank You for these good people. Thank You for what You're doing at Freedom Fellowship. Thank You for Pastor Joseph and all these church leaders who serve so well. Thank You for this congregation that's here at this important place in Greenville County, in Taylor's, proclaiming the gospel. Thank You for how You use them uniquely to do that and how You're going to use them. And Lord, as we prepare for that day when we stand before You where we'll be forever and ever, help us to so live and so serve that we will hear You say, well done, good and faithful servant. Go with us now as we go to different places of ministry, as we go to our homes, maybe to a restaurant, that wherever we go, we will say a good word for You and Your grace. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for keeping us. Thank You for this time together. In Jesus' name, and all God's church said, amen. Thank you for letting me be with you today. God bless all of you today. Have a good one.